will be filed by the clerk and docketed as a petition for a writ of habeas corpus. It will not say petition for a writ of habeas corpus in aid of the court's appellate jurisdiction. It will not say a petition for an original writ of habeas corpus. It won't even say petition for an extraordinary writ of habeas corpus. It will just be a petition for a writ of habeas corpus, and there is only one rule which governs that filing, which is Rule 20.4. So if you want to get it past the clerk and onto the justices, it needs to be filed in accordance with Rule 20, and, you know, the justices then will act on the petition as they deem appropriate. Does that make sense?
It totally does. I'm so glad you clarified that, and I really appreciate it. So you said it needs to be filed in compliance with Rule 20.
Right.
Well, that's my concern there, is that's a petition for an extraordinary writ, and it involves their statutory discretionary writs. So I filed that petition only under what I perceive to be the rules of, I think it's Rule 19, no, not whatever the procedures were for an original action. And there is no limit to a word page count in an original action.
There is. A procedure in an original action is literally only for the filing of a motion for leave to file a bill of complaint. So if you are seeking a writ of habeas corpus, whether original or appellate, it needs to be done in the form of a petition under Rule 20.
So then you're not going to make it and turn it into a statutory writ, correct?
Anything. It will be docketed as a petition for a writ of habeas corpus.
Okay. So that was my concern, is that it's going to get filed under something that I don't want it to, and that essentially, maybe I misunderstood you, that I was being forced to file a statutory discretionary writ when what I'm actually filing is something that's not discretionary and in the court's original jurisdiction. So
sure, I understand your concern. You've now articulated that. I believe that I have answered your question.
Okay. So I just want to make sure that I understand. I have to file it under the rules of Rule 20, which basically means that it has to be filed almost as like the petition for writ of certiorari, which is what you said in your letter, correct? Yes.
Right, yes. So, I mean, it needs to follow the form of a petition for a writ of certiorari prescribed by Rule 14. So, I mean, you need to have all the same sections, the questions presented, et cetera, but it is a petition for a writ of habeas corpus.
Okay. And there's no other way to get around filing this unless I follow this format, even though... Yeah, I mean...
That's right. There is no other way to get around. If you want to present to the justices of this court a petition for a writ of habeas corpus, it needs to be filed in accordance with Rule 20.
Okay.
Whether it's an original writ of habeas corpus or a writ of habeas corpus in aid of the court's appellate jurisdiction, it doesn't matter. There's only one way to file a petition for a writ of habeas corpus.
Okay, and just again to make sure that I understand... I forget which rule it is, but the rule governing an action in the court's original jurisdiction only applies to the filing of a motion for leave to file, which in this case I don't need to. So that rule doesn't even apply here, essentially.
Right. I mean, that's for a motion for leave to file a bill of complaint.
Okay. So actually,
which
what?
Is a totally different thing. So
no.
You were seeking a writ of habeas corpus. It's under Rule 20.
Okay. Here's another thing that I needed to clarify, is that the petition that I sent you was in the form of, as I said, a writ of habeas corpus and a writ of error, but it was also a suit against 16 state and federal judges in the court's original equity jurisdiction. It's a bill of complaint for treason. I know that sounds crazy to you, but that's the problem with using all these rules, is there's no actual procedure to do what I'm trying to do that I'm aware of, other than filing a bill of complaint in the court's original jurisdiction, which is what I did. And that's the issue. So, the lower courts, the state and federal courts in my case, as crazy as it may sound, are committing treason. And this is why I'm in this court's original jurisdiction trying to file this complaint. And so
I could be misremembering. I mean, this was more than a week ago. I do not recall it being filed as a motion for leave to file a bill of complaint. You're welcome to correct me if I'm misremembering, and then go ahead and resubmit it. You know, that I would not review that, but it didn't, you know, as it was construed, when I looked at it, you were trying to file a petition for a writ of habeas corpus, and then, you know, you also mentioned writ of error, for which there is no procedure.
Okay, so...
So, I mean, these are distinct things. Now, I mean, generally, a motion for leave to file a bill of complaint is filed only by states. So, you know, I'm not going to get too deep into the weeds on that with you right now, you know, without somebody looking at it, but, you know, it sort of depends what you're trying to do. But they're not the same thing.
Jake, I totally understand you, and I hope you're able to feel that I'm not trying to cause any problems with the clerk or you, or to be argumentative in any way. What I want more than anything is to be able to work with you so that we can find a solution to this. But this is the problem with this, is that these rules of court are acting as a blockade to actually submitting the complaint that I'm trying to file. And there aren't any clear rules for doing this. Do you see the problem that could be there with that? So.
So I very sincerely appreciate that, you know, you have been polite, you know, you have not been unprofessional, but I hope that you can appreciate that, frankly, the rules of the court are not flexible. So, I mean, you know, you must, if you are trying to present a filing to this court, you must file in accordance with the rules of the court.
Okay, I understand that. So what I'm trying to find out how to do is how to, I shared with you, so there's a couple of things. I put the complaint in the form of writ of error or a habeas corpus. But within that, within the writ of error is a suit for restitution against 16 state and federal judges. So that's a bill of complaint in and of itself. I know it isn't. It's styled that way, but it's not styled that way. When you read the actual complaint itself, that's what it is in there, and there is a prayer for relief with that requested relief in there. But so it's actually a bill of complaint, which is why I sent you the motion for leave to file. And I understand why you looked at it and you read the caption on the front that said motion for leave to file an emergency petition for writs of error and or non-statutory habeas corpus. And you said, whoa, 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 this isn't within the rules of the court, and sent it back. But that's why I thought what was going to happen was the court would say, oh my gosh, what's going on here? Let's read into this a little bit and find out what it is before we refuse to file it. But that apparently is not what happened. So it never, in my understanding, correct me if I'm wrong, it never made it to the justices to look at it to find out what should actually be done with it. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct. I mean, yeah, filings that are in accordance with the rules of the court are fairly cut and dry. So, I mean, if you're filing a petition for a habeas corpus, then you do so under Rule 20. If you're filing a motion for leave to file a bill of complaint, it needs to be styled as such and is in accordance with Rule 17.
Okay.
So, I mean, you know, I think there's some conflation. You know, I mean, you cannot combine those filings. I mean, if you want to resubmit them as distinct filings, one in accordance with Rule 20 and the other in accordance with Rule 17, I mean, we are more than happy to take another one.
Okay, procedure. Okay, so under the rule of under Rule 17, though, if I file it as a bill of complaint, there is no page limit, correct? And there is no other, there would be no requirement for me to file it under the procedures that are in Rule 20, correct?
As I understand it, yes.
Okay. So basically, in an original action, then, which is what I intended to file, because I did put on the second page there, this is an original action, original writ, that...
So merely using the word original does not constitute a proper motion for leave to file a bill of complaint.
Oh, okay, I understand that. But in the instance of that's the case, if I file a bill of complaint in the court's original jurisdiction, there are essentially no rules governing... the page limit or the format style that I have to present this in, correct?
Of that, I am honestly not certain. I would need to place you on hold or transfer you. So would you mind holding for a moment?
Sure, absolutely. Yes, sir.
Thank you for holding. I sincerely apologize.
No, no problem. I'm happy to be part of the solution.
So I was able to determine. So a motion for leave to file a bill of complaint does need to be formatted in accordance with Rule 33.1. And I found the docket number for one that you can look at on our public docket and use as an example if you'd like.
Thank you so much. Okay, which is that?
That is 220150.
220150. Okay, what's the
original, not zero.
Oh, okay.
22, yeah, 220150.
Okay, and what's the name of the case? Do you, if you?
That is Arizona v. California.
Okay. V. California. Okay.
And you'll see. So you know, there's their motion for leave to file a bill of complaint. There's the bill of complaint, and then they did include a certificate of word count and a proof of service. And then if you look at Rule 33.1G, there's a chart in the rule book, and you'll see the very first. So a motion for leave to file a bill of complaint, brief in support, is included under the first type of document. So there's a 9,000 word limit, and the color of the cover is white.
Okay. All right. I see the chart that you're talking about, and I'll do that. I just wanted to share something really quickly with you and why I'm having a little bit of trouble with this. You don't need to reply or anything. I just want to share two things really quickly. One of them is, it's a quote from this case, Nashville v. Wallace. It says, "The Constitution does not require that the case or controversy should be presented by traditional forms of procedure, invoking only traditional remedies. The Judiciary Clause of the Constitution defined and limited judicial power, not the particular method by which that power might be invoked." And the other one, that was what the court said in Nashville v. Wallace. And the other one is what the court said in Miranda v. Arizona. They said, where rights secured by the Constitution are involved, there can be no rulemaking or legislation that would abrogate them. So do you see the major conflict that the court's actual rulings are coming into conflict with having petitions for rights secured under the Constitution's revoked because... or refuse to file because they're not in perfect compliance with the rules?
Well, so look, as you said, I'm not going to address that specifically. I would encourage you, if you're so inclined, to put that in writing and include that along with your filing.
That'll
be reviewed by the court.
That's what's in my complaint, Jake. These are the issues that I'm addressing in the complaint. So you can see why I'm having so much trouble, because I'm addressing these issues in the complaint, and then these rules that I'm trying to challenge are being used to even forbid me from challenging them.
Do you think that you've identified a fundamental contradiction? I can only speak to you in my official capacity as an employee of the clerk of this court, and the justices have devised and revised their own rules. You know, the rules of the court are approved by all of the justices, including the Chief Justice. And as I think I said to you yesterday or the other day, whenever we spoke, that the clerk receives documents for filing with the court and has authority to reject any submitted filing that does not comply with these rules. So,
and
I understand that you're arguing that it should be more flexible than that, and that you think you've identified a way to sort of circumvent that. But I'm afraid that there's nothing that I can do to assuage that concern.
And I appreciate what you're saying totally. I understand that the court gets thousands upon tens of thousands of petitions, and that there has to be some basic format for them. I appreciate all of that. So let me ask you this. Here's what my plan was going to be, and maybe you can facilitate this with me. I absolutely, want to do my best to follow the procedures and whatever, so that it makes it so we can get my petition in there so that the justices can hear it. But I also had two other things that I was going to do. One is, I've already written a letter to Justice Thomas that I was going to send restricted delivery today about this issue. Is there a way that if I email that to you, you could get it to him or any of the justices for that matter?
Absolutely cannot do that.
Okay. And how about...
Just so that you're not surprised by this, I suspect, typically if a justice receives correspondence that appears to pertain to I want to let you know not to be surprised if that's how it ends up being
handled. Okay, but so my issue is I'm trying to save time because I filed an emergency petition and there are emergency issues in that petition that I filed that's now been revoked. So I'm asking if, rather than going through the restricted delivery process, if I emailed you that letter and a copy of this petition that got refused, if you could have one of the justices look at it to see that these are the issues that are being challenged and to not refuse to file it.
Mr. Murphy, I'm afraid the answer is no. We do not correspond via email. We do not receive any filings via email, and we certainly do not forward anything to chambers that is email.
Okay, so even if I ordered you to do that, you would not do it.
Correct. I'm not sure what you mean by ordered, but yeah, no.
What I mean by ordered is that I'm one of the people of the United States and you're the agent of this government. So I'm ordering you to file the petition that I'm sending in there that is for deprivation of my rights. And I want you to... Okay. Okay. Well, thank you. Okay. So thank you for your help, Jake. I sure appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Okay. Bye.
Holy shit. Oh my gosh.
Was that the clerk of the Supreme Court?
Yes.
Are you kidding me?